the 6th of February. Up and to my office about business, examining people what they could swear against Field. And the whole is that he hath called us cheating rogues and cheating knaves, for which we hope to be even with him. Thence to Lincoln's Inn Fields, and it being too soon to go to dinner, I walked up and down and looked upon the outside of the new theatre now a-building in Covent Garden, which will be very fine. And so to a bookseller's in the Strand, and there bought Hudibras again, it being certainly some ill humour to be so set against that which all the world cries up to be the example of wit, for which I am resolved once again to read him, and see whether I can find it or no. So to Mr. Povey's, and there find them at dinner, and dined there being, among others, Mr. Williamson, Latin secretary, who I perceive is a pretty knowing man, and a scholar, but it may be thinks himself to be too much so. Thence, after dinner, to the Temple, to my cousin Roger Pepys, where we met us my Uncle Thomas and his son. And after many high demands, we at last came to a kind of agreement upon very hard terms, which are to be prepared, in writing, against Tuesday next. But by the way, promising them to pay my cousin Mary's legacies at the time of her marriage, they afterward told me she was already married, and married very well, so that I must be forced to pay that in some time. My cousin Roger was so sensible of our coming to agreement that he could not forbear weeping, and indeed, though it be very hard, yet I am glad to my heart that we are like to end our trouble. So we parted for tonight. And I to my Lord Sandwich, and there stayed, there being a committee to sit upon the contract for the mole, which I dare say none of us that were there understood. But yet they agreed of things as Mr. Chumley and Sir John Lawson demanded, who were the undertakers, and so I left them to go on to agree, for I understood it not. So home, and being called by a coachman who had a fare in him, he carried me beyond the Old Exchange, and there set down his fare, who would not pay him what was his due, because he carried a stranger with him. And so, after wrangling, he was fain to be content with sixpence. And being vexed, the coachman would not carry me home a great while, but set me down there for the other sixpence. But with fair words he was willing to it. And so I came home and to my office, setting business in order, and so home to supper and to bed. My mind being in disorder as to the greatness of this day's business that I have done, but yet glad that my trouble therein is like to be over. The 7th of February. Up and to the office, whither, by agreement, Mr. Coventry came, before the time of setting, to confer about preparing an account of the extraordinary charge of the Navy since the King's coming, more than is properly to be applied, and called the Navy charge. So by and by we sat, and so till noon. Then home to dinner, and in the afternoon some of us met again upon something relating to the victualling, and thence to my writing of letters late, and making my alphabet to my new Navy book, very pretty. And so, after writing to my father by the post about the endeavour to come to a composition with my uncle, though a very bad one, desiring him to be contented therewith, I went home to supper and bed. The 8th of February, Lord's Day. Up, and it being a very great frost, I walked to Whitehall and to my Lord Sandwich's, by the fireside till chapel time, and so to chapel, where there preached little Dr. Duport of Cambridge upon Josiah's words, "But I and my house, we will serve the Lord." But though a great scholar, he made the most flat, dead sermon, both for matter and manner of delivery, that ever I heard, and very long beyond his hour, which made it worse. Thence with Mr. Creed to the King's Head Ordinary, where we dined well. And after dinner Sir Thomas Willis and another stranger and Creed and I fell a-talking, they of the errors and corruptions of the Navy, and great expense thereof, not knowing who I was, which at last I did undertake to confute and disabuse them, and they took it very well, and I hope it was to good purpose, they being Parliament men. By and by to my Lord's, and with him a good while, talking upon his want of money and ways of his borrowing some, etc., and then, by other visitants, I withdrew and away. Creed and I and Captain Ferrers to the park, and there walked finally, seeing people slide. We talking all the while, and Captain Ferrers telling me, among other court passages, how about a month ago, at a ball at court, a child was dropped by one of the ladies in dancing, but nobody knew who, it being taken up by somebody in their handkerchief. The next morning, all the ladies of honour appeared early at court for their vindication, so that nobody could tell whose this mischance should be. But it seems Mistress Wells fell sick that afternoon, and hath disappeared ever since, so that it is concluded it was her. Another story was how my Lady Castlemaine, a few days since, had Mistress Stuart to an entertainment, and at night begun a frolic that they two must be married, and married they were, with ring and all other ceremonies of church service, and ribbons and a sack posset in bed and flinging the stocking. But in the close it is said that my Lady Castlemaine, who was the bridegroom, rose, and the king came and took her place with pretty Mistress Stuart. This is said to be very true. Another story was how Captain Ferrers and Will Howe both have often seen through my Lady Castlemaine's windows, seen her go to bed and Sir Charles Barkley in the chamber all the while with her. But the other day Captain Ferrers going to Sir Charles to excuse his not being so timely at his arms the other day, Sir Charles, swearing and cursing, told him before a great many other gentlemen that he would not suffer any man of the King's Guards to be absent from his lodging a night without leave. "Not but that," says he, "once a week or so I know a gentleman must go to his whore, and I'm not for denying it to any man, but, however, he shall be bound to ask leave to lie abroad, and to give account of his absence, that we may know what guard the King hath to depend upon." The little Duke of Monmouth, it seems, is ordered to take place of all dukes, and so doth follow Prince Robert now, before the Duke of Buckingham, or any else. Whether the wind and the cold did cause it or no, I know not, but having been this day or two mightily troubled with an itching all over my body, which I took to be a louse or two that might bite me, I find this afternoon that all my body is inflamed, and my face in a sad redness and swelling and pimpled, so that I was, before we had done walking, not only sick, but ashamed of myself to see myself so changed in my countenance. So that after we had thus talked, we parted, and I walked home with much ado, Captain Ferrers with me as far as Ludgate Hill, toward Mr. Moore's at the wardrobe, the ways being so full of ice and water by people's trampling. At last got home and to bed presently, and had a very bad night of it, in great pain in my stomach and great fever. The 9th and 10th of February. Could not rise and go to the Duke as I should have done with the rest, but keep my bed, and by the apothecary's advice, Mr. Battersby, I am to sweat soundly, and that will carry all this matter away, which nature would of itself eject, but this will assist nature, it being some disorder given the blood, but by what I know not, unless it be by my late great quantities of Danzig gherkins that I've eaten. In the evening came Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten to see me, and Sir John Minnis advises me to the same thing, but would not have me take anything from the apothecary, but from him, his Venice treacle being better than the others, which I did consent to, and did anon take, and fell into a great sweat, and about 10 or 11 o'clock came out of it, and shifted myself, and slept pretty well alone, my wife lying in the red chamber above. And in the morning, most of my disease, that is, itching and pimples, was gone. In the morning visited by Mr. Coventry and others, and very glad I am to see that was so much inquired after and my sickness taken notice of as I did. I keep my bed all day, and sweat again at night, by which I expect to be very well tomorrow. This evening Sir William Warren came himself to the door, and left a letter and box for me, and went his way. His letter mentions his giving me and my wife a pair of gloves. But opening the box, we find a pair of plain white gloves for my hand, and a fair state dish of silver and cup with my arms ready cut upon them, worth, I believe, about £18, which is a very noble present, and the best I ever had yet. So, after some contentful talk with my wife, she to bed and I to rest. The 11th of February. Took a glister in the morning and rise in the afternoon. My wife and I dined on a pullet and I ate heartily, having ate nothing since Sunday but water gruel and posset drink. But must needs say that our new maid Mary hath played her part very well in her readiness and discretion in attending me, of which I am very glad. In the afternoon several people came to see me, my Uncle Thomas, Mr. Creed, and Sir John Minnis, who hath been, God knows to what end, mighty kind to me and careful of me in my sickness. At night my wife read Sir Henry Vane's Trial to me, which she begun last night, and I find it a very excellent thing, worth reading, and him to have been a very wise man. So to supper and to bed. The 12th of February. Up and find myself pretty well, and so to the office and there all the morning. Rise at noon and home to dinner, in my green chamber, having a good fire. Whither there came my wife's brother, and brought Mary Ashwell with him, whom we find a very likely person to please us, both for person, discourse, and other qualities. She dined with us, and after dinner went away again, being agreed to come to us about 3 weeks or a month hence. My wife and I well pleased with our choice, only I pray God I may be able to maintain it. Then came an old man from Mr. Povey to give me some advice about his experience in the stone, which I am beholden to him for, and was well pleased with it, his chief remedy being castle soap in a posset. Then in the evening to the office late, writing letters, and my journal since Saturday, and so home to supper and to bed. The 13th of February. Lay very long with my wife in bed, talking with great pleasure, and then rise. This morning Mr. Cole, our timber merchant, sent me 5 couple of ducks. Our maid Susan is very ill, and so the whole trouble of the house lies upon our maid Mary, who doth it very contentedly and mightily well, but I am sorry she is forced to it. Dined upon 1 couple of ducks today, and after dinner my wife and I by coach to Tom's, and I to the Temple to discourse with my cousin Roger Pepys about my law business, and so back again, it being a monstrous thaw after this long great frost, so that there is no passing but by coach in the streets, and hardly that. Took my wife home, and I to my office. Find myself pretty well, but fearful of cold. And so to my office, where late upon business Mr. Bland, setting with me, talking of my Lord Windsor's being come home from Jamaica unlooked for, which makes us think that these young lords are not fit to do any service abroad, though it is said that he could not have his health there, but hath raced a fort of the King of Spain's upon Cuba, which is considerable, or said to be so, for his honour. So home, to supper and to bed. This day I bought the 2nd part of Dr. Bates's Alencus, which reaches to the fall of Richard, and no further, for which I am sorry. This evening my wife had a great mind to choose Valentines against tomorrow. I, Mistress Clark or Pierce, she, Mr. Hunt or Captain Ferrers. But I would not, because of begetting charge both to me for mine, and to them, men for her, which did not please her. The 14th of February. Up and to my office, where we met and sat all the morning. Only Mr. Coventry, which I think is the 1st or 2nd time he hath missed since he came to the office, was forced to be absent. So home to dinner, my wife and I upon a couple of ducks, and then by coach to the Temple, where my Uncle Thomas and his sons both and I did meet at my cousin Roger's, and did sign and seal to an agreement, wherein I was displeased at nothing but my cousin Roger's insisting upon my being obliged to settle upon them, as the will doth, all my uncle's estate that he hath left, without power of selling any for payments of debts. But I would not yield to it without leave of selling, my Lord Sandwich himself and my cousin Thomas Pepys being judges of the necessity thereof, which was done. One thing more that troubles me was my being forced to promise to give half of what personal estate could be found, more than £372, which I reported to them, which, though I do not know it to be less than what we really have found, yet he could have been glad to have been at liberty for that. But at last I did agree to it under my own handwriting on the backside of the report I did make, and did give them of the estate, and have taken a copy of it upon the backside of one that I have. All being done, I took the father and his son Thomas home by coach, and did pay them £30, the arrears of the father's annuity, and with great seeming love, parted. And I presently to bed, my head aching mightily with the hot dispute I did hold with my cousin Roger and them in that business. The 15th of February, Lord's Day. This morning my wife did wake me, being frighted with the noise I made in my sleep, being a dream that one of our sea masters did desire to see the St. John's Isle of my drawing, which methought I showed him, but methought he did handle it so hard that it put me to very horrid pain. And what should this be but my cods, which after I woke were in very great pain for a good while. What a strange, extravagant dream it was! So to sleep again, and lay long in bed, and then trimmed by the barber, and so sending Will to church, myself stayed at home, hanging up in my green chamber my picture of the sovereign, and putting some things in order there. So to dinner to 3 more ducks and 2 teals, my wife and I, then to church, where a dull sermon, and so home, and after walking about the house a while, discoursing with my wife, I to my office, there to set down something and prepare businesses for tomorrow, having in the morning read over my vows, which through sickness I could not do the last Lord's Day, and not through forgetfulness or negligence, so that I hope it is no breach of my vow not to pay my forfeiture. So home, and after prayers to bed, talking long with my wife, and teaching her things in astronomy. The 16th of February. Up and by coach with Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis to Whitehall, and after we had done our usual business with the Duke, to my Lord Sandwich, and by his desire to Sir William Wheeler, who was brought down in a sedan chair from his chamber, being lame of the gout, to borrow £1,000 of him for my Lord's occasions. But he gave me a very kind denial that he could not, but if anybody else would, he would be bond with my Lord for it. So to Westminster Hall, and there find great expectation what the Parliament will do when they come 2 days hence to sit again, in matters of religion. The great question is whether the Presbyters will be contented to have the Papists have the same liberty of conscience with them or no, or rather be denied it themselves. And the Papists, I hear, are very busy designing how to make the Presbyters consent to take their liberty, and to let them have the same with them, which some are apt to think they will. It seems a priest was taken in his vests officiating somewhere in Holborn the other day, and was committed by Secretary Morris, according to law, and they say the Bishop of London did give him thanks for it. Thence to my Lord Crewe's, and dined there being much company, and the above-said matter is now the present public discourse. Thence about several businesses to Mr. Phillips, my attorney, to stop all proceedings at law, and so to the Temple, where at the Solicitor General's, I find Mr. Chumley and Creed reading to him the agreement for him to be put into form about the contract for the mole at Tangier, which is done at 30 shillings the cubical yard, though upon my conscience not one of the committee besides the parties concerned do understand what they do therein, whether they give too much or too little. Thence with Mr. Creed to see Mr. Moore, who continues sick still within doors, and here I stayed a good while after him, talking of all the things, either business or no, that came into my mind. And so home, and to see Sir William Penn, and sat and played at cards with him, his daughter and Mistress Ruth, and so to my office a while, and then home, and to bed. The 17th of February. Up and to my office, and then we sat all the morning, and at noon, my wife being gone to Chelsea with her brother and sister and Mistress Loddham, to see the wassail at the school where Mary Ashwell is, I took home Mr. Pett, and he dined with me all alone, and much discourse we had upon the business of the office and so, after dinner broke up. and with much ado, it raining hard, which it hath not done a great while now, but only frosts a great while, I got a coach, and so to the Temple, where discoursed with Mr. William Montague about borrowing some money for my lord, and so by water, where I have not been a good while through cold, to Westminster, to Sir William Wheeler's, whom I find busy at his own house with the commissioners of sewers. But I spoke to him about my lord's business of borrowing money, and so to my lord of Sandwich to give him an account of all, whom I find at cards with Pickering, but he made an end soon, and so all alone he and I. After I had given him an account, he told me he had a great secret to tell me, such as no flesh knew but himself, nor aught, which was this, that yesterday morning Eskia, Mr. Edward Montague's man, did come to him from his master with some of the clerks of the Exchequer, for my lord to sign to their books for the embassy money, which my lord very civilly desired not to do till he had spoke with his master himself. In the afternoon my lord and my lady Wright being at cards in his chamber, in comes Mr. Montague, and desiring to speak with my lord at the window in his chamber, he begun to charge my lord with the greatest ingratitude in the world, that he that had received his earldom, garter, £4,000 per annum, and whatever he is in the world from him, should now study him all the dishonour that he could, and so fell to tell my lord that if he should speak all that he knew of him, he could do so and so. In a word, he did rip up all that could be said that was unworthy, and in the basest terms they could be spoken, to which my lord answered with great temper, justifying himself, but endeavouring to lessen his heat, which was a strange temper in him, knowing that he did owe all that he hath in the world to my lord, and that he is now all that he is, by his means and favour. But my lord did forbear to increase the quarrel, knowing that it would be to no good purpose for the world to see a difference in the family, but did allay him so as that he fell to weeping. And after much talk, among other things Mr. Montague telling him that there was a fellow in the town, naming me, that had done ill offices, and that if he knew it to be so, he would have him cudgelled, my lord did promise him that, if upon account he saw that there was not many tradesmen unpaid, he would sign the books, but if there was, he could not bear with taking too great a debt upon him. So this day he sent him an account and a letter, assuring him there was not above £200 unpaid. And so my lord did sign to the Exchequer books. Upon the whole, I understand fully what a rogue he is, and how my lord doth think, and will think of him for the future, telling me that thus he had served his father, my lord Manchester, and his whole family, and now himself. And, which is worst, that he hath abused, and in speeches every day doth abuse my lord Chancellor, whose favour he hath lost, and hath no friend but Sir Henry Bennet, and that, I knowing the rise of that friendship, only from the likeness of their pleasures and acquaintance, and concernments they have in the same matters of lust and baseness, for which God forgive them. But he doth flatter himself from promises of Sir Henry Bennet, that he shall have a pension of £2,000 per annum, and be made an earl. My lord told me he expected a challenge from him, but told me there was no great fear of him, for there was no man lies under such an imputation as he doth in the business of Mr. Chumley, who, though a simple, sorry fellow, doth brave him and struts before him with the Queen, to the sport and observation of the whole court. He did keep my lord at the window, thus reviling and braving him above an hour, my Lady Wright being by. But my lord tells me she could not hear every word, but did well know what their discourse was. She could hear enough to know that. So that he commands me to keep it as the greatest secret in the world, and bids me beware of speaking words against Mr. Montague, for fear I should suffer by his passion thereby. After he had told me this, I took coach and home, where I find my wife come home and in bed, with her sister-in-law in the chamber with her, she not being able to stay to see the wassail, being so ill of her terms, which I was sorry for. Hither we sent for her sister's viol, upon which she plays pretty well for a girl, but my expectation is much deceived in her, not only for that, but in her spirit, she being, I perceive, a very subtle, witty jade, and one that will give her husband trouble enough, as little as she is, whereas I took her heretofore for a very child and a simple fool. I played also, which I have not done this long time before, upon any instrument, and at last broke up, and I to my office a little while, being fearful of being too much taken with music, for fear of returning to my old dotage thereon, and so neglect my business as I used to do. Then home and to bed. Coming home, I brought Mr. Pickering as far as the Temple, who tells me the story is very true of a child being dropped at the ball at court, and that the king had it in his closet a week after, and did dissect it, and making great sport of it, said that in his opinion it must have been a month and 3 hours old, and that whatever others think, he had the greatest loss, it being a boy, as he says, that had lost a subject by the business. He tells me, too, that the other, of my Lady Castlemaine's and Stuart's marriage, is certain, and that it was in order to the king's coming to Stuart, as is believed generally. He tells me that Sir Henry Bennet is a Catholic, and how all the court almost is changed to the worse since his coming in, they being afeard of him, and that the Queen Mother's court is now the greatest of all, and that our own queen hath little or no company come to her, which I know also to be very true, and am sorry to see it. The 18th of February. Up, leaving my wife sick, as last night, in bed. I to my office all the morning, casting up with Captain Cock their accounts of 500 tons of hemp, brought from Riga, and bought by him and partners upon account, wherein are many things worth my knowledge. So at noon to dinner, taking Mr. Hayter with me because of losing time, and in the afternoon he and I alone at the office, finishing our account of the extra charge of the Navy, not properly belonging to the Navy since the King's coming in, to Christmas last, and all extra things being abated, I find that the true charge of the Navy to that time hath been after the rate of £374,743 a year. I made an end by 11 o'clock at night, and so home to bed almost weary. This day the Parliament met again after their long prorogation, but I know not anything what they have done, being within doors all day. The 19th of February. Up and to my office, where abundance of business all the morning, dined by my wife's bedside, she not being well. We fell out almost upon my discourse of delaying the having of Ashwell come, my wife believing that I have a mind to have Paul, which I have not, though I could wish she did deserve to be had. So to my office, where by and by we sat, this afternoon being the first that we have met upon a great while, our times being changed because of the Parliament sitting. Being rose, I to my office till 12 at night, drawing out copies of the overcharge of the Navy, one to send to Mr. Coventry early tomorrow. So home and to bed, being weary, sleepy, and my eyes begin to fail me, looking so long by candlelight upon white paper. This day I read the King's speech to the Parliament yesterday, which is very short and not very obliging, but only telling them his desire to have a power of indulging tender consciences, not that he will yield to have any mixture in the uniformity of the church discipline. And says the same for the Papist, but declares against their ever being admitted to have any offices or places of trust in the kingdom. But God knows, too many have. The 20th of February. Up and by water with Commissioner Pett to Deptford, and there looked over the yard and had a call, wherein I am very highly pleased with our new manner of call books, being my invention. Thence, thinking to have gone down to Woolwich, in the Charles pleasure boat, but she ran aground, it being almost low water. And so by oars to the town, and there dined, and then to the yard at Mr. Ackworth's, discoursing with the officers of the yard about their stores of masts, which was our chief business, and having done something therein, took boat, and to the pleasure boat, which was come down to fetch us back. And I could have been sick if I would in going, the wind being very fresh. But very pleasant it was, and the first time I've sailed in any one of them. It carried us to Cuckold's Point, and so by oars to the Temple, it raining hard, where, missed of speaking with my cousin Roger, and so walked home and to my office. There spent the night till bedtime, and so home to supper and to bed. The 21st of February. Up and to the office, where Sir John Minnis, most of the rest being at the Parliament House, all the morning answering petitions and other business. Towards noon there comes a man in, as if upon ordinary business, and shows me a writ from the Exchequer, called a Commission of Rebellion, and tells me that I am his prisoner, in Field's business, which, methought, did strike me to the heart, to think that we could not sit safe in the middle of the King's business. I told him how and where we were employed, and bid him have a care, and perceiving that we were busy, he said he would, and did withdraw for an hour, in which time Sir John Minnis took coach and to court to see what he could do from thence. And our solicitor against Field came by chance and told me that he would go and satisfy the fees of the court and would end the business. So he went away about that, and I stayed in my closet, till by and by the man and four more of his fellows came to know what I would do. I told them stay till I heard from the King or my Lord Chief Baron, to both whom I had now sent. With that they consulted, and told me that if I would promise to stay in the house, they would go and refresh themselves, and come again and know what answer I had. So they away, and I home to dinner, whither by chance in comes Mr. Hawley, and dined with me. Before I had dined, the bailies came back again with the constable, and at the office knocked for me, but found me not there, and I, hearing in what manner they were come, did forbear letting them know where I was. So they stood knocking and inquiring for me. By and by, at my parlour window, comes Sir William Batten's Mingo, to tell me that his master and lady would have me come to their house, through Sir John Minnis's lodgings, which I could not do, but, however, by ladders, did get over the pale between our yards, and so to their house, where I find them, as they have reason, to be much concerned for me, my lady especially. The fellows stayed in the yard, swearing with one or two constables, and some time we locked them into the yard, and by and by let them out again, and so keep them all the afternoon, not letting them see me or know where I was. One time I went up to the top of Sir William Batten's house, and out of one of their windows spoke to my wife out of one of ours, which, methought, though I did it in mirth, yet I was sad to think what a sad thing it would be for me to be really in that condition. By and by comes Sir John Minnis, who, like himself and all that he doth, tells us that he can do no good, but that my Lord Chancellor wonders that we did not cause the seamen to fall about their ears, which we wished we could have done without our being seen in it. And Captain Grove being there, he did give them some affront, and would have got some seamen to have drubbed them, but he had not time, nor did we think it fit to have it done, they having executed their commission. But there was occasion given that he did draw his sword upon one of them, and he did complain that Grove had pricked him in the breast, but no hurt done. But I saw that Grove would have done our business to them if we had bid him. By and by comes Mr. Clark, our solicitor, who brings us a release from our adverse attorney, we paying the fees of the commission, which comes to 5 marks, and pay the charges of these fellows, which are called the commissioners, but are the most rake-shamed rogues that ever I saw in my life. So he showed them his release, and they seemed satisfied, and went away with him to their attorney, to be paid by him. But before they went, Sir William Batten and my lady did begin to taunt them, but the rogues answered them as high as themselves, and swore they would come again, and called me rogue and rebel, and they would bring the sheriff and untile his house before he should harbour a rebel in his house, and that they would be here again shortly. Well, at last they went away, and I, by advice, took occasion to go abroad, and walk through the street to show myself among the neighbours, that they might not think worse than the business is. Being met by Captain Taylor and Bowery, whose ship we have hired for Tangier, they walked along with me to Cornhill, talking about their business, and after some difference about their price, we agreed. And so they would have me to the tavern, and there I drank one glass of wine and discoursed of something about freight of a ship that may bring me a little money. And so broke up, and I home to Sir William Batten again, where Sir John Lawson, Captain Allen, Sprague, and several others, and all our discourse about the disgrace done to our office to be liable to this trouble, which we must get removed. Hither came Mr. Clark by and by, and tells me that he hath paid the fees of the court for the commission, but the men are not contented with under £5 for their charges, which he will not give them, and therefore advises me not to stir abroad till Monday, that he comes or sends to me again, whereby I shall not be able to go to Whitehall to the Duke of York, as I ought. Here I stayed, vexing and yet pleased to see everybody, man and woman, my lady and Mistress Turner especially, for me, till 10 at night, and so home, where my people are mightily surprised to see this business, but it troubles me not very much, it being nothing touching my particular person or estate. Being in talk today with Sir William Batten, he tells me that little is done yet in the Parliament House, but only this day it was moved and ordered that all the members of the House do subscribe to the renouncing of the Covenant, which is thought will try some of them. There is also a bill brought in for the wearing of nothing but cloth or stuffs of our own manufacture, and is likely to be passed. Among other talk this evening, my lady did speak concerning Commissioner Pett's calling the present king bastard, and other high words heretofore. And Sir William Batten did tell us that he did give the Duke, or Mr. Coventry, an account of that and other like matters in writing, under oath, of which I was ashamed, and for which I was sorry. But I do see there is an absolute hatred, never to be altered there, and Sir John Minnis, the old coxcomb, hath got it by the end, which troubles me for the sake of the King's service, though I do truly hate the expressions laid to him. To my office, and set down this day's journal, and so home with my mind out of order, though not very sad with it, but ashamed for myself something, and for the honour of the office much more. So home and to bed. The 22nd of February, Lord's Day. Lay long in bed, and went not out all day, but after dinner to Sir William Batten and Sir William Penn's, where discoursing much of yesterday's trouble and scandal. But that which troubled me most was Sir John Minnis coming from court at night, and instead of bringing great comfort from thence, but I expected no better from him, he tells me that the Duke and Mr. Coventry make no great matter of it. So, at night, discontented, to prayers and to bed. The 23rd of February. Up betimes, and not daring to go by land, did, Griffin going along with me for fear, slip to Whitehall by water, where to Mr. Coventry, and, as we used to do, to the Duke, the other of my fellows being come. But we said nothing of our business, the Duke being sent for to the King, that he could not stay to speak with us. This morning came my Lord Windsor to kiss the Duke's hand, being returned from Jamaica. He tells the Duke that from such a degree of latitude going thither, he began to be sick, and was never well till his coming so far back again, and then presently began to be well. He told the Duke of their taking the fort of Santiago upon Cuba by his men, but upon the whole, I believe that he did matters like a young lord, and was weary of being upon service out of his own country, where he might have pleasure. For methought it was a shame to see him this very afternoon, being the first day of his coming to town, to be at a playhouse. Thence to my Lord Sandwich, who, though he hath been abroad again 2 or 3 days, is falling ill again, and is let blood this morning, though I hope it is only a great cold that he hath got. It was a great trouble to me, and I had great apprehensions of it, that my Lord desired me to go to Westminster Hall to the Parliament House door, about business, and to Sir William Wheeler, which I told him I would do, but durst not go for fear of being taken by these rogues, but was forced to go to Whitehall, and take boat, and so land below the tower at the Iron Gate, and so the back way over Little Tower Hill, and with my cloak over my face, took one of the watermen along with me, and stayed behind a wall in the new buildings, behind our garden, while he went to see whether anybody stood within the Merchant's Gate, under which we passed to go into our garden. And there, standing but a little dirty boy before the gate, did make me quake and sweat to think that he might be a trepan. But there was nobody, and so I got safe into the garden, and coming to open my office door, something behind it fell in the opening, which made me start. so that God knows in what a sad condition I should be in if I were truly in the condition that many a poor man is for debt, and therefore ought to bless God that I have no such real reason, and to endeavour to keep myself by my good deportment and good husbandry out of any such condition. At home I find Mr. Creed with my wife, and so he dined with us, and finding, by a note that Mr. Clark in my absence had left here, that I am free, and that he had stopped all matters in court, I was very glad of it, and immediately had a light thought of taking pleasure to rejoice my heart, and so resolved to take my wife to a play at court to-night, and the rather because it is my birthday, being this day 30 years old, for which let me praise God. While my wife dressed herself, Creed and I walked out to see what play was acted to-day, and we find it The Slighted Maid. But, Lord, to see that though I did know myself to be out of danger, yet I durst not go through the street, but round by the garden, into Tower Street. By and by took coach and to the Duke's house, where we saw it well acted, though the play hath little good in it, being most pleased to see the little girl dance in boy's apparel, she having very fine legs, only bends in the hams, as I perceive all women do. The play being done, we took coach and to court, and there got good places, and saw The Wild Gallant, performed by the King's House. But it was ill acted, and the play so poor a thing as I never saw in my life almost, and so little answering the name, that from beginning to the end I could not, nor can at this time, tell certainly which was The Wild Gallant. The King did not seem pleased at all, or the whole play, nor anybody else, though Mr. Clark, whom we met here, did commend it to us. My Lady Castlemaine was all worth seeing to-night, and little Stuart. Mistress Wells doth appear at court again and looks well, so that it may be the late report of laying the dropped child to her was not true. It being done, we got a coach and got well home about 12 at night. Now, as my mind was but very ill satisfied with these two plays themselves, so was I in the midst of them sad to think of my spending so much money and venturing upon the breach of my vow, which I find myself sorry for, I bless God, though my nature could well be contented to follow that pleasure still. But I did make payment of my forfeiture presently, though I hope to save it back again by forbearing two plays at court for this one at the theatre, or else to forbear that to the theatre which I am to have at Easter. But it being my birthday, and my day of liberty regained to me, and lastly, the last play that is likely to be acted at court before Easter, because of the Lent coming in, I was the easier contented to fling away so much money. So to bed. This day I was told that my Lady Castlemaine had all the King's Christmas presents made him by the peers given to her, which is a most abominable thing, and that at the great ball she was much richer in jewels than the Queen and Duchess put both together. The 24th of February. Slept hard till 8 o'clock, then waked by Mr. Clark's being come to consult me about Field's business, which we did by calling him up to my bedside, and he says we shall trounce him. Then up and to the office, and at 11 o'clock by water to Westminster, and to Sir William Wheeler's about my Lord's borrowing of money that I was lately upon with him, and then to my Lord, who continues ill, but will do well, I doubt not. Among other things, he tells me that he hears the Commons will not agree to the King's late declaration, nor will yield that the Papists have any ground given them to raise themselves up again in England, which I perceive by my Lord was expected at court. Thence home again by water presently, and with a bad dinner, being not looked for, to the office. And there we sat, and then Captain Cook and I upon his hemp accounts, till 9 at night. And then I, not very well, home to supper and bed, my late distemper of heat and itching being come upon me again, so that I must think of sweating again as I did before. The 25th of February. Up and to my office, where, with Captain Cock making an end of his last night's accounts till noon. And so, home to dinner, my wife being come in from laying out about £4 in provision of several things against Lent. in the afternoon to the temple, my brothers, the wardrobe, to Mr. Moore, and other places, called at about small businesses, and so at night home to my office, and then to supper and to bed. The Commons in Parliament, I hear, are very high to stand to the Act of Uniformity, and will not indulge the Papists, which is endeavoured by the Court Party, nor the Presbyters. The 26th of February. Up and drinking a draught of wormwood wine with Sir William Batten at the Steelyard, he and I by water to the Parliament House. He went in, and I walked up and down the hall. All the news is the great odds yesterday in the votes between them that are for the indulgence to the Papists and Presbyters, and those that are against it, which did carry it by 200 against 30. And pretty it is to consider how the King would appear to be a stiff Protestant and son of the Church, and yet would appear willing to give a liberty to these people because of his promise at Breda. And yet all the world doth believe that the King would not have this liberty given them at all. Thence to my Lord's, who I hear hath his ague again, for which I'm sorry, and Creed and I to the King's Head Ordinary, where much good company, among the rest a young gallant lately come from France, who was full of his French, but, methought, not very good, but he had enough to make him think himself a wise man a great while. Thence by water from the New Exchange home to the Tower, and so sat at the office and then writing letters till 11 at night. Troubled this evening that my wife is not come home from Chelsea, whither she has gone to see the play at the school where Ashwell is. But she came at last, it seems, by water, it being cold and dark. But came well, and tells me she is much pleased with Ashwell's acting and carriage, which I am glad of. So home, and to supper, and bed. The 27th of February. Up and to my office, whither several persons came to me about office business. About 11 o'clock, Commissioner Pett and I walked to Chirurgeon's Hall, we being all invited thither and promised to dine there, where we were led into the theatre, and by and by came the reader, Dr. Turn, with the master and company, in a very handsome manner, and all being settled, he begun his lecture, this being the second upon the kidneys, urethras, and yard, which was very fine, and his discourse being ended, we walked into the hall, and there being great store of company, we had a fine dinner, and good learned company, many doctors of physic, and we used with extraordinary great respect. Among other observables, we drank the King's health out of a gilt cup, given by King Henry VIII to this company, with bells hanging at it, which every man is to ring by shaking after he hath drunk up the whole cup. There is also a very excellent piece of the King done by Holbein, stands up in the hall, with the officers of the company kneeling to him to receive their charter. After dinner, Dr. Scarborough took some of his friends, and I went along with them, to see the body alone, which we did. He was a lusty fellow, a seaman that was hanged for a robbery. I did touch the dead body with my bare hand. It felt cold, but methought it was a very unpleasant sight. It seems one Dillon, of a great family, was, after much endeavours to have saved him, hanged with a silken halter this sessions, of his own preparing, not for honour only, but it seems it being soft and slick, it doth slip close and kills, that is, strangles presently, whereas a stiff one doth not come so close together, and so the party may live the longer before killed. But all the doctors at table conclude that there is no pain at all in hanging, for that it doth stop the circulation of the blood, and so stops all sense and motion in an instant. Thence we went into a private room, where I perceive they prepare the bodies, and there was the kidneys, urethras, yard, stones, and seminary vessels, upon which he read today. And Dr. Scarborough, upon my desire, and the company's, did show very clearly the manner of the disease of the stone, and the cutting, and all other questions that I could think of, and the manner of the seed, how it comes into the yard, and how the water into the bladder, through the three skins, or coats, just as poor Dr. Joliet heretofore told me. Thence, with great satisfaction to me, back to the company, where I heard good discourse, and so to the afternoon lecture upon the heart and lungs, etc. And that being done, we broke up, took leave, and back to the office, we two, Sir William Batten, who dined here also, being gone before. Here late, and to Sir William Batten to speak upon some business, where I find Sir John Minnis pretty well fuddled, I thought. He took me aside to tell me how, being at my Lord Chancellor's today, my Lord told him that there was a great seal passing for Sir William Penn, through the impossibility of the controller's duty to be performed by one man, to be, as it were, joint controller with him, at which he is stark mad, and swears he will give up his place, and doth rail at Sir William Penn the cruelest, which I made shift to increase as much as I could, but it pleased me heartily to hear him rail against him, so that I do see thoroughly that they are not like to be great friends, for he cries out against him for his house and yard, and God knows what. For my part, I do hope, when all is done, that my following my business will keep me secure against all their envies. But to see how the old man doth strut and swear that he understands all his duty as easily as crack a nut. And easier, he told my Lord Chancellor, for his teeth are gone. And that he understands it as well as any man in England, and that he will never leave to record that he should be said to be unable to do his duty alone, though God knows he cannot do it no more than a child. All this I am glad to see fall out between them, and myself safe. And yet I hope the King's service will be done for all this, for I would not that should be hindered by any of our private differences. So to my office, and then home to supper and to bed. The 28th of February. Waked with great pain in my right ear, which I find myself much subject to, having taken cold. Up and to my office, where we sat all the morning, and I dined with Sir William Warren, by chance, being in business together about a bargain of New England masts. Then to the Temple to meet my Uncle Thomas, who I find there, but my cousin Roger not being come home, I took boat and to Westminster, where I find him in Parliament this afternoon, the House having this noon been with the King to give him their reasons for refusing to grant any indulgence to presbyters or papists, which he with great content and seeming pleasure took, saying that he doubted not but he and they should agree in all things, though there may seem a difference in judgment, he having writ and declared for an indulgence, and that he did believe never prince was happier in a House of Commons than he was in them. Thence he and I to my Lord Sandwich, who continues troubled with his cold. Our discourse most upon the outing of Sir Robert Bernard, and my Lord's being made recorder in his stead, which he seems well contented with, saying that it may be for his convenience to have the chief officer of the town dependent upon him, which is very true. Thence he and I to the Temple, but my uncle being gone, we parted, and I walked home and to my office. And at 9 o'clock had a good supper of an ox's cheek, of my wife's dressing, and baking. And so to my office again till past 11 at night, making up my month's account. And I find that I am at a stay with what I was last, that is £640. So home, and to bed. Coming by, I put in at Whitehall, and at the Privy Seal I did see the docket by which Sir William Penn is made the Controller's assistant, as Sir John Minnis told me last night, which I must endeavour to prevent. March 1663, the 1st, Lord's Day. Up and walked to Whitehall to the chapel, where preached one Dr. Lewis, said heretofore to have been a great wit, but he read his sermon every word, and that so brokenly and so low that nobody could hear at any distance, nor I anything worth hearing, that sat near. But which was strange, he forgot to make any prayer before sermon, which all wonder at, but they impute it to his forgetfulness. After sermon, a very fine anthem. So I up into the house among the courtiers, seeing the fine ladies, and above all my Lady Castlemaine, who is above all the only she I can observe for true beauty. The King and Queen being sat to dinner, I went to Mr. Fox's, and there dined with him. Much genteel company, and among other things I hear for certain that peace is concluded between the King of France and the Pope, And also I heard the reasons given by our Parliament yesterday to the King, why they dissent from him in matter of indulgence, which are very good, quite through, and which I was glad to hear. Thence to my Lord Sandwich, who continues with great cold, locked up, and being alone we fell into discourse of my uncle the captain's death and estate, and I took the opportunity of telling my Lord how matters stand, and read his will, and told him all what a poor estate he hath left, at all which he wonders strangely, which he may well do. Thence, after singing some new tunes with Will Howe, I walked home, whither came Will Joyce, whom I have not seen here a great while, nor desire it a great while again. He is so impertinent a coxcomb, and yet good-natured, and mightily concerned for my brother's late folly in his wooing at that charge, to no purpose, nor could in any probability expect it. He gone, we all to bed without prayers, it being washing day tomorrow. The 2nd of March. Up early and by water with Commissioner Pett to Deptford, and there took the Jemmy yacht that the King and the Lords Virtuosos built the other day, down to Woolwich, where we discoursed of several matters, both there and at the rope yard, and so to the yacht again, and went down 4 or 5 mile with extraordinary pleasure, it being a fine day and a brave gale of wind, and had some oysters brought us aboard, newly taken, which were excellent, and ate with great pleasure. There also coming into the river 2 Dutchmen. We sent a couple of men on board and bought 3 Hollands cheeses. Cost 4d. Excellent cheese, whereof I had 2 and Commissioner Pett 1. So back again to Woolwich, and going aboard the hulk to see the manner of the iron bridles, which we are making of for to save cordage to put to the chain, I did fall from the ship side into the ship, Kent, and had like to have broke my left hand, but I only sprayed some of my fingers, which, when I came ashore, I sent to Mistress Ackworth for some balsam, and put it to my hand, and I was pretty well within a little while after. We dined at the White Hart with several officers with us, and after dinner went and saw the Royal James brought down to the stern of the dock, the main business we came for, and then to the rope yard, and saw a trial between Riga hemp and a sort of Indian grass, which is pretty strong, but no comparison between it and the other for strength, and it is doubtful whether it will take tar or no. So to the yacht again, and carried us almost to London. So by our oars home to the office, and thence Mr. Pett and I to Mr. Grant's coffee-house, whither he and Sir John Cutler came to us, and had much discourse, mixed discourse, and so broke up. And so home, where I find my poor wife all alone at work, and the house foul, it being washing day, which troubled me because that tomorrow I must be forced to have friends at dinner. So to my office, and then home to supper and to bed. The 3rd of March, Shrove Tuesday. Up and walked to the Temple, and by promise calling Commissioner Pett, he and I to Whitehall to give Mr. Coventry an account of what we did yesterday. Thence I to the Privy Seal office, and there got a copy of Sir William Penn's grant, to be assistant to Sir John Minnis, Controller, which, though there be not much in it, yet I intend to stir up Sir John Minnis to oppose, only to vex Sir William Penn. Thence by water home, and at noon, by promise, Mistress Turner and her daughter and Mistress Morris comes along with Roger Pepys to dinner. We were as merry as I could be, having but a bad dinner for them, but so much the better, because of the dinner which I must have at the end of this month. And here Mistress Theophila showed me my name upon her breast as her valentine, which will cost me 20 shillings. After dinner I took them down into the wine-cellar, and broached my tierce of claret for them. Toward the evening we parted, and I to the office a while, and then home to supper and to bed. The sooner having taken some cold yesterday upon the water, which brings me my usual pain. This afternoon Roger Pepys tells me that for certain the King is for all this very highly incensed at the Parliament's late opposing the indulgence, which I am sorry for, and fear it will breed great discontent. The 4th of March. Lay long talking with my wife about ordering things in our family, and then rose and to my office, there collecting an alphabet for my Navy manuscript, which after a short dinner I returned to, and by night perfected to my great content. So to other business till 9 at night, and so home to supper and to bed. The 5th of March. Rise this morning early, only to try, with intentions, to begin my last summer's course in rising betimes. So to my office a little, and then to Westminster by coach, with Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, in our way talking of Sir William Penn's business of his patent, which I think I have put a stop to wholly, for Sir John Minnis swears he will never consent to it. Here to the lobby, and spoke with my cousin Roger, who is going to Cambridge tomorrow. In the hall I do hear that the Catholics are in great hopes for all this, and do set hard upon the king to get indulgence. Matters, I hear, are all naught in Ireland, and that the Parliament hath voted, and the people, that is, the Papists, do cry out against the commissioners sent by the king. So that they say that the English interest will be lost there. Thence I went to see my Lord Sandwich, who I find very ill, and by his cold being several nights hindered from sleep, he was hardly able to open his eyes, and is very weak and sad upon it, which troubled me much. So, after talking with Mr. Cook, whom I find there, about his folly for looking and troubling me and the other friends in getting him a place, that is, storekeeper of the navy at Tangier, before there is any such thing, I returned to the hall, and thence back with the two knights home again by coach, where I find Mr. Moore got abroad and dined with me, which I was glad to see, he having not been able to go abroad a great while. Then came in Mr. Hawley and dined with us, and after dinner I left them and to the office, where we sat late, and I do find that I shall meet with nothing to oppose my growing great in the office but Sir William Penn, who is now well again and comes into the office very brisk, and thinks to get up his time that he hath been out of the way by being mighty diligent at the office, which I pray God he may be, but, however, I hope by mine to weary him out, for I am resolved to fall to business as hard as I can drive, God giving me health. At my office late, and so home to supper and to bed. The 6th of March. Up betimes, and about 8 o'clock by coach with 4 horses, with Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten to Woolwich, a pleasant day. There at the yard we consulted and ordered several matters, and thence to the rope yard and did the like, and so into Mr. Faulkner's, where we had some fish which we brought with us dressed, and there dined with us his new wife, which had been his maid, but seems to be a gentlewoman, well enough bred and discreet. Thence after dinner back to Deptford, where we did as before, and so home. Good discourse in our way, Sir John Minnis being good company, though a simple man enough to the business of his office. But we did discourse at large again about Sir William Penn's patent, to be his assistant, and I perceive he is resolved never to let it pass. To my office, and thence to Sir William Batten, where Major Holmes was lately come from the Straits, but doth tell me strange stories of the faults of Cooper, his master, put in by me, which I do not believe, but am sorry to hear, and must take some course to have him removed, though I believe that the captain is proud, and the fellow is not supple enough to him. So to my office again, to set down my journal, and so home and to bed. This evening my boy Wainman's brother was with me, and I did tell him again that I must part with the boy, for I will not keep him. He desires my keeping him a little longer, till he can provide for him, which I am willing for a while to do. This day it seems the House of Commons hath been very high against the Papists, being incensed by the stir which they make for their having an indulgence, which without doubt is a great folly in them to be so hot upon at this time, when they see how averse already the House have showed themselves from it. This evening Mr. Povey was with me at my office, and tells me that my Lord Sandwich is this day so ill that he is much afeard of him, which puts me to great pain, not more for my own sake than for his poor family. The 7th of March. Up betimes into the office, where some of us sat all the morning. At noon Sir William Penn begun to talk with me, like a counterfeit rogue, very kindly about his house and getting bills signed for all our works. But he is a cheating fellow, and so I let him talk and answered nothing. So we parted. I to dinner, and there at home met Theophila Turner, who has come on foot in a frolic to beg me to get a place at sea for John their man, which is a rogue. But, however, it may be the sea may do him good in reclaiming him, and therefore I will see what I can do. She dined with me, and after dinner I took coach and carried her home, in our way, in Cheapside, lighting and giving her a dozen pair of white gloves as my valentine. Thence to my Lord Sandwich, who is gone to Sir William Wheeler's, for his more quiet being, where he slept well last night, and I took him very merry, playing at cards, and much company with him. So I left him, and Creed and I to Westminster Hall, and there walked a good while. He told me how for some words of my Lady Gerald's against my Lady Castlemaine to the Queen, the King did the other day affront her in going out to dance with her at a ball, when she desired it as the ladies do, and is since forbid attending the Queen by the King, which is much talked of, my lord her husband being a great favourite. Thence by water home and to my office, wrote by the post, and so home to bed. The 8th of March, Lord's Day. Being sent to by Sir John Minnis to know whether I would go with him to Whitehall today, I rose but could not get ready before he was gone. But, however, I walked thither and hear Dr. King, Bishop of Chichester, make a good and eloquent sermon upon these words: "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Thence the chapel in Lent being hung with black and no anthem sung after sermon, as at other times, to my Lord Sandwich at Sir William Wheeler's. I find him out of order, thinking himself to be in a fit of an ague, but in the afternoon he was very cheery. I dined with Sir William, where a good but short dinner, not better than one of mine commonly of a Sunday. After dinner, up to my Lord, there being Mr. Rumble, my Lord, among other discourse, did tell us of his great difficulties passed in the business of the Sound, and of his receiving letters from the King there. But his sending them by Whetstone was a great folly, and the story how my Lord, being at dinner with Sidney, one of his fellow plenipotentiaries, and his mortal enemy, did see Whetstone, and put off his hat 3 times to him, but the fellow would not be known, which my Lord imputed to his coxcomely humour, of which he was full, and bid Sidney take notice of him too, when at that very time he had letters in his pocket from the King, as it proved afterward. And Sidney afterward did find it out at Copenhagen, the Dutch commissioners telling him how my Lord Sandwich had hired one of their ships to carry back Whetstone to Lubeck, he being come from Flanders from the King. But I cannot but remember my Lord's equanimity in all these affairs with admiration. Thence walked home, in my way meeting Mr. Moore, with whom I took a turn or two in the street among the drapers in Paul's Churchyard, talking of business. And so home, to bed. The 9th of March. Up betimes to my office, where, all the morning, about noon, Sir John Robinson, Lord Mayor, desiring way through the garden from the tower, called in at the office, and there invited me, and Sir William Penn, who happened to be in the way, to dinner, which we did, and there had a great Lent dinner of fish, little flesh, and thence he and I in his coach, against my will, for I am resolved to shun too great fellowship with him, to Whitehall, but came too late, the Duke having been with our fellow officers before we came, for which I was sorry. Thence he and I to walk 1 turn in the park, and so home by coach, and I to my office, where late, and so home to supper and bed. There dined with us today Mr. Slingsby of the Mint, who showed us all the new pieces, both gold and silver, examples of them all, that are made for the King by Blondeau's way, and compared them with those made for Oliver, the pictures of the latter made by Simons, and of the King by one Reutier, a German, I think, that dined with us also. He extols these of Reutier's above the others, and indeed I think they are the better, because the sweeter of the two, but upon my word those of the Protector's are more like in my mind than the King's, but both very well worth seeing. The crowns of Cromwell's are now sold, it seems, for 25 shillings and 30 shillings apiece. The 10th of March. Up and to my office all the morning, and great pleasure it is to be doing my business betimes. About noon Sir John Minnis came to me and stayed 1/2 hour with me in my office, talking about his business with Sir William Penn, and though he be an old doter, yet he told me freely how sensible he is of Sir William Penn's treachery in this business, and what poor ways all along he hath taken to ingratiate himself, by making Mr. Turner write out things for him, and then he give them to the Duke, and how he decoyed him to give Mr. Coventry £100 for his place, but that Mr. Coventry did give him £20 back again. All this I am pleased to hear, that his knavery is found out. Dined upon a poor Lenten dinner at home, my wife being vexed at a fray this morning with my Lady Batten about my boys going thither to turn the watercock, with their maid's leave, but my lady was mighty high upon it, and she would teach his mistress better manners, which my wife answered aloud, that she might hear, that she could learn little manners of her. After dinner to my office, and then we sat all the afternoon till 8 at night, and so wrote my letters by the post, and so before 9 home, which is rare with me of late, I staying longer, but with multitude of business my head aches, and so I can stay no longer, but home to supper and to bed. The 11th of March. Up betimes, and to my office all the morning. Walked a little in the garden with Sir William Batten, talking about the difference between his lady and my wife yesterday, and I doubt my wife is to blame. About noon, had news by Mr. Wood that Butler, our chief witness against Field, was sent by him to New England, contrary to our desire, which made me mad almost. And so Sir John Minnis, Sir William Penn and I dined together at Trinity House, and thither sent for him to us, and told him our minds, which he seemed not to value much, but went away. I wrote and sent an express to Walthamstow to Sir William Batten, who is gone thither this morning, to tell him of it. However, in the afternoon Wood sends us word that he hath appointed another to go, who shall overtake the ship in the Downs. So I was late at the office, among other things, writing to the Downs, to the Commander-in-Chief, and putting things into the surest course I could to help that business. So home and to bed. The 12th of March. Up betimes, and to my office all the morning with Captain Cock, ending their account of their Riga contract for hemp. So home to dinner, my head full of business against the office. After dinner comes my Uncle Thomas with a letter to my father, wherein, as we desire, he and his son do order their tenants to pay their rents to us, which pleases me well. In discourse he tells me my Uncle White thinks much that I do never see them, and they have reason, but I do apprehend their having been too far concerned with my Uncle Thomas against us, so that I have had no mind hitherto. But now I will go see them. He being gone, I to the office, where at the choice of masters and chirurgeons for the fleet now going out, I did my business as I could wish, both for the persons I have a mind to serve, and in getting the warrant signed, drawn by my clerks, which I was afeard of. Sat late, and having done, I went home, where I find Mary Ashwell come to live with us, of whom I hope well, and pray God she may please us, which, though it costs me something, yet will give me much content. So to supper, and to bed, and find by her discourse and carriage to-night, that she is not proud, but will do what she is bid, but for want of being abroad, knows not how to give that respect to her mistress, as she will do when she's told it, she having been used only to little children, and there was a kind of a mistress over them. Troubled all night with my cold, I being quite hoarse with it, that I could not speak to be heard at all, almost. The 13th of March. Up pretty early into my office all the morning, busy. At noon, home to dinner, expecting Ashwell's father, who was here in the morning and promised to come, but he did not. But there came in Captain Grove, and I find him to be a very stout man, at least in his discourse he would be thought so, and I do think he is, and one that bears me great respect, and deserves to be encouraged for his care in all business. Abroad by water with my wife and Ashwell, and left them at Mistress Pierce's, and I to Whitehall and St. James's Park, there being no commission for Tangier sitting to-day as I looked for. where I walked an hour or two with great pleasure, it being a most pleasant day. So to Mistress Hunt's, and there find my wife, and so took them up by coach and carried them to Hyde Park, where store of coaches and good faces. Here till night, and so home and to my office to write by the post, and so to supper and to bed. The 14th of March. Up betimes and to my office, where we sat all the morning, and a great rant I did give to Mr. Davis of Deptford, and others, about their hard usage of Mitchell in his bupas, which he serves in for flags, which did trouble me, but yet it was in defence of what was truth. So home to dinner, where Creed dined with me, and walked a good while in the garden with me after dinner, talking, among other things, of the poor service which Sir John Lawson did really do in the Straits, for which all this great fame and honour done him is risen. So to my office, where all the afternoon giving masters their warrants for this voyage, for which I hope hereafter to get something at their coming home. In the evening my wife and I and Ashwell walked in the garden, and I find she is a very pretty, ingenious girl at all sorts of fine works, which pleases me very well, and I hope will be very good entertainment for my wife, without much cost. So to write by the post, and so home to supper and to bed. The 15th of March, Lord's Day. Up and with my wife and her woman Ashwell, the first time, to church, where our pew so full with Sir John Minnis's sister and her daughter, that I perceive when we come all together some of us must be shut out, but I suppose we shall come to some order what to do therein. Dined at home and to church again in the afternoon, and so home and I to my office till the evening, doing one thing or other, and reading my vows, as I am bound every Lord's Day, and so home to supper and talk, and Ashwell is such good company that I think we shall be very lucky in her. So to prayers and to bed. This day the weather, which of late hath been very hot and fair, turns very wet and cold, and all the church time this afternoon it thundered mightily, which I have not heard a great while. The 16th of March. Up very betimes into my office, where, with several masters of the King's ships, Sir John Minnis and I advising upon the business of slops, wherein the seaman is so much abused by the pursers. And that being done, then I home to dinner, and so carried my wife to her mother's, set her down, and Ashwell, to my lord's lodging, there left her, and I to the Duke, where we met, of course, and talked of our navy matters. Then to the commission of Tangier, and there, among other things, had my Lord Peterborough's commission read over, and Mr. Secretary Bennett did make his queries upon it, in order to the drawing one for my Lord Rutherford more regularly, that being a very extravagant thing. Here long discoursing upon my Lord Rutherford's dispatch, and so broke up, and going out of the court, I met with Mr. Coventry, and so he and I walked half an hour in the long stone gallery, where we discoursed of many things, among others how the treasurer doth intend to come to pay in course, which is the thing of the world that will do the king the greatest service in the navy, and which joys my heart to hear of. He tells me of that business of Sir John Minnis and Sir William Penn, which I knew before, but took no notice, or little, that I did know it. But he told me it was chiefly to make Mr. Pett's being joined with Sir William Batten to go down the better, and doth tell me how he well sees that neither one nor the other can do their duties without help, but, however, will let it fall at present, without doing more in it, to see whether they will do their duties themselves, which he well sees and saith they do not. We discoursed of many other things to my great content, and so parted, and I to my wife at my lord's lodgings, where I heard Ashwell play first upon the harpsichon, and I find she doth play pretty well, which pleaseth me very well. Thence home by coach, buying at the Temple the printed virginal book for her, and so home, and to my office a while, and so home to supper and to bed.